Okay, we're on Vav Amid Aleph, or the truth is the last word on Hei Amid Beis at the bottom. The Gemara is discussing the whole concept that you're not allowed to delay bringing korbanos, and they have to be brought either one yom to three yom and tevim, or three in the order. I mean, all the various opinions. And then the Gemara was saying the whole time that it's only it, the carbon itself, and not the exchanging. The Gemara is trying to figure out where we learn it out from and how it works and so on. So the Gemara says, "Vakati mibin azay nafka." Why can we learn it out from Ben Azay? From Ben Azay's din, it teaches us the same thing. What's Ben Azay's din? The Tanya we learned in the Braisa, Ben Azay Yemed. Ben Azay says, when it says, "I say," it says by pigul. Pigul is when you have a wrong thought. At the time you shach the carbon, you think you're going to eat it out past the time. Okay? So it says over there, amakriv eisei leyechoshiv, that the person that brings it, so he says, it's considered, it wouldn't be appeasing for the person that brought the carbon. All the way on top. So Gemara says, my Talmud leimer, why does the Torah say, eisei lefishanam aleisa achel shalmi? Because it says in the pasuk already, you'd never delay a carbon. Shemei ani, I would think, af ma'ach nidrei, that even if somebody delays his carbon, that bebal yerotze, that he might not be excusable, might not be acceptable. Talmud Leimer, so it says, eisei, meaning pigul lo yerotze, is not desirable, is not acceptable. Vein ma'ach nidrei be lo yerotze. But it says, but you, if you delay the carbon, then it is appeasable. Meaning as follows. The question is, what happens if somebody does delay a carbon? You're not allowed to delay it. It has to be either one yom, three yom, the various opinions. What happens if somebody does delay the carbon? Is it still a kosher carbon or not? So the Gemara learns it out from Pigel that it is. Why? Because by Pigel, like we said, if somebody shechts a carbon, and at the time of the Kohen is shechting the carbon, the Jew thinks they're going to eat it in the wrong place, or the wrong time, I mean. So the din is, it's not acceptable. What does the Torah mean? It's not acceptable. Meaning you have to bring a carbon. Another carbon. Because it's carbon, not kosher. So the Gemara learns, it is not acceptable. Meaning, pigul is not acceptable. But if it's a different carbon, meaning you delayed bringing a carbon, it is acceptable. That means you get a sin, but you still fulfilled your obligation of bringing a carbon. By pigul, he didn't fulfill your obligation, you have to go bring another carbon. But here, you did fulfill your obligation as a carbon. So Gemara says, but only by you it will be a sin. Now the Gemara says a different explanation. It says, it will be in your sin. It's not going to be a sin for your wife. What does it mean, a sin for your wife? He says, because I would think, because Rabbi Yechon said a statement, the same Rabbi Loz, or as other people say, Rabbi Loz said. What did they say? A person's wife doesn't die, if they ask money from him, meaning, the way Rashi learns that if the money is stolen, and they come to you and ask for the money back, and you refuse to give it, so the pasuk says your wife dies. It's a punishment for not returning stolen goods. Shenamad, where do we learn this out from? Because it says in the pasuk, "In loch l'shalim, if you have nothing to pay, l'meyikach mishkavcha mitachtecha. Why should they? He will take away your bed from under you." Meaning, bed refers to the wife. So he says that if you don't pay for stolen goods, other mefarshim say, they can bring it down over here, that's the way Rashi learns. Other mefarshim learn that if somebody made a vow and didn't pay up the vow. So there's two opinions how to learn this. Rashi learns that if somebody stole something, doesn't pay it back. Other people say it means if you make a vow and you don't pay it, so then your wife dies. So one second, let me just finish this. Amos, I would think, v'hai oven, v'al ta'achet, that for the sin of v'al ta'achet, nami ish te meis, that your wife will also die. So Tchamashmul on the Torah says, no, if you delay the carbon, for you will be a sin. That means nobody else is going to be punished because of you.
No, I see.
In other words, by certain avedis, the Torah says you don't behave properly, your wife is going to die.
Why,
but over here, it's not going to happen. What?
Why punish the wife? But she didn't do anything.
Because if the wife dies, he suffers. She goes to Gan Eden.
He should be punished, not his wife, because she didn't do anything.
It's part of the punishment. The Rambam says, but the Rambam says that for certain avedis, a person's children also die, because when they're young, they're basically only, they don't have their, they're not their own adults yet, so to speak. So therefore, they're considered the property of the father. So therefore, if the father sins, many times the Torah says, your children are going to die. So it happens. So therefore, the Gemara learns out that this is only if, for that Aveda. Of stolen money, you're not paying up a vow. But if it's a question of Baal Ta'achad, the Torah explicitly says, why? Because this is also not paying up a vow, so to speak. Right? You promised a carbon, you didn't pay it back. So I would think, for this, your wife's going to die. So the answer is, if you eventually bring it, it doesn't matter. Now the Gemara says the following. This is, Bechlal, the Gemara is going to discuss now, paying up a vow that you have to pay. I mean, that you made a vow in the way you have to pay properly. So it says in the pasuk, there's a whole pasuk. It says, "Meitzis v'sachat tishman v'arsisa." You know, you have what comes out of your mouth. You have to keep and watch and do and so on. So the Gemara is going to interpret each word of the pasuk. So it says, "Son Rabban learned, meitzis v'sachat, what comes out from your lips is a mitzvah sasei, meaning that's a positive mitzvah to do it, to pay up what you promised. Tishmer, you have to watch what comes out of your mouth." Said Zul Mitzvah Leisaser. That's a negative commandment. Vasisa, and you should do. Hazhara LeBezdin, it's a warning for Bezdin. Sheyasucha, that they should force you to pay your vow. In other words, the word Asisa over here is not only you should do, but there's an expression Masin al Tzedakah, and the Gemara is interpreting it here also, that you force him to do it. So it says, Meitzis Vasecha Tishmer Vasisa. What comes out of your lips, you should watch and you should do. So the Gemara learns as follows. Meitzvah sasecha, what comes out of your lips, means it's a positive mitzvah to keep what you promised. Tishmar is that you're transgressing a negative commandment if you don't do what you promised. Vasisa means Bezdin is obligated to force you to pay up your debt. I mean the vow that you made. Kashen adarta, as you have promised, you make a vow. Zeneder refers to a neder. And the Gemara is soon going to say what a neder is. Neder basically is when a person says, I make a vow to bring a carbon. Nedava, as we'll soon learn in the Gemara, Nedava is when you say, this animal I'm bringing is a carbon. In other words, there's two types of vows a person can make when it comes to a carbon, or anything for the Beis HaMikdash for that matter. A person could come along and say, I obligate myself to bring a carbon. Okay, he obligates himself to bring a carbon. So then, even if he's on the way to the Beis HaMikdash with his animal, and the animal dies, let's say, he still has to bring another animal. Because he said, I promise an animal for the Beis HaMikdash. The fact is, he didn't bring an animal. That's neder. Nedava is when a person says, I'm promising this animal to the Beis HaMikdash. So because he said this animal, and then the animal going to the Beis HaMikdash, let's say, dies, whatever, you don't have to bring another carbon. Because you didn't promise it on yourself. So neder, we're going to learn the difference in the Gemara. Neder is when I promise a carbon. That means I make a vow for myself to bring a carbon. Nedava is when I'm saying this animal is the carbon. Or this object. So if the object breaks, you don't have an obligation to replace it. So it says, Kashen nedar to be first to a neder. Lashem alikecho. Meaning, chatois vashamis elusuk shlamim. Those refers to the various different types of kabanis. In other words, these are not vows. If you sinned, you have to bring a korban, right? But it's not a vow that you made. So the pasuk is including Lashem Alekecha, which are extra words. It's an extra word, Lashem Alekecha. So it teaches us that even if it's not a vow, but it's a korban you have to bring, it's the same din. Nedava, then the pasuk says the word Nedava. What does Nedava mean? The simple meaning of Nedava. And like we said before, what does Nedava mean? What I promise this animal. So as long as the animal is alive, I have an obligation to bring it. Asher Dibar, to which he spoke, a Lukachi Bedek Abayis. Those are objects which are for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. I'll explain in a second. And Beficha refers to the mitzvah of tzedakah. That means, again, all these words are extra. So the Gemara is learning out that you have to keep the promise that you make, right, for all these types of things. Neder, Nedava, Tzedakah, Bedek Abayis, Chatos, it's a positive mitzvah, it's a negative mitzvah, Bezdin is forcing you to bring it anyway. Now, there is a different levels of Kabbalah. This is what's called Hegdish of the goof of the animal, and sometimes there's the mum, and the money becomes Hegdish. For instance, if somebody promises a carbon, the person says, this animal is going to be a carbon. Bezdin can't sell the animal and use it for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash, because it's Kedushas HaGuf. An animal, if I makdish an animal, it becomes Kedushas HaGuf, the body of the animal, providing it's a kosher animal for a korban, meaning there's no blemish. Because if I sanctify a blemished animal that you can't bring as a korban, it doesn't have Kedushas HaGuf, because I can't bring the animal on the Mizbeach. So what do I mean by it? I'm sanctifying the money. In other words, Bezdin used to, in the Beis HaMikdash, people used to sanctify and donate objects to the Beis HaMikdash.
Could I ask you boys a favor? I have a medical emergency at 10. You know the West LA Kaiser at Cadillac? I have a...
Yes, okay. I want to make a nidava. Can I just bleed neder? Do nidava.
So if you say, that's why a person should always say blue neder, because then it doesn't have a din of a neder. Because if you make a neder, and it fits a duck or whatever, and you don't give it, so like the Gemara says, you're transgressing a positive mitzvah plus a negative mitzvah, plus Bezin has to force you to do it. Okay? Now, there is Kedushas HaGuf and Kedushas Damim. If somebody donates, let's say, a table to the Beis HaMikdash, a person's in the mood of donating something to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, when you donate something to the Beis HaMikdash, it becomes Hegdish, right? It becomes sanctified, consecrated. So, but the din of, obviously they can't bring a table on the Mizbeach. So the table has no kedusha of the body of the table. It's the monetary aspect of the table. So what did Bezdin do if they didn't need tables, so to speak? Bezdin would sell the table to somebody. The table would become no more holy. And that money was an exchange. And then the money became holy. So the money they would use for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash or whatever they needed. Okay? So the Torah says, no matter what it is, even dibarta, even if it's not the kedusha of the animal itself, it's asher dibarta means the kedusha of the monetary value of the animal, of the object. It's also the concept that you have to keep the nether, and if you don't keep the nether, you're transgressing positive, negative, and everything else along the way.
He doesn't make a condition a nether.
Oh well, that's the concept of bli nether. You can make a condition, a monetary thing.
If you sell this house, you would make a profit in the house. He donated some. If he sell, he doesn't make any profit. He's not obligated to do this.
Yeah, there's a lot of dinim in the laws of neder and conditions and how you make a condition. For instance, what happens if somebody's collecting money to build a mikveh, okay, and people donate money for the mikveh? And then the guy doesn't get enough money, or for whatever reason it is, he's not building the mikveh. Whatever it is, it's the dark objects, yeah? So now what happens with the money? Because the people gave it on the condition it should be for the mikveh. Now the question is, can the guy use the money? Okay, he decided not to build a mikveh. So now the question is, he wants to use it to build a library of books. Now, can he just take the money Because anyway, they gave a lesson to this shul, this institution, yeah? And the institution was going to build a mikveh. For whatever reason it is, the city doesn't let them build a mikveh. Whatever the reason is, and now they want to take the money and build a library. So the question is, technically, the person gave the money for the mikveh, he didn't give the money for the library. And what happened? The guy says, no, I don't want to give money for the library. So then the money has to go back to the giver, because it was given on the condition. The tzedakah was given on the condition that there's a mikveh, not a library. Now, if you come to the guy, though, and you say, listen, I'm not building a mikveh, I'm building a library, can I use your money for the library? And the guy says, yes, then yes, I mean, obviously. So all these things do apply. Mm-hmm. And conditions with Bli Neder. By the way, that doesn't mean if a guy says Bli Neder, yeah, I don't have to give it.
No.
You don't have a law of a Neder. But from the Gemara, Meitzvah Sasecha Tishma doesn't only mean if you make a Neder, you have to keep. B'chlal, when a person says, in fact, there's a din, interesting din in Yeruday, in Hilchot Tzedakah, there's an opinion that says, V'David Emes Bilvavai. What do we say? It's a pasuk, but as we say in davening of David, David emes b'vav of yashkem v'yemar. The David emes b'vav means you should speak truth in your heart. It says in Shulchan Aruch that even if somebody didn't verbalize tzedakah, if somebody thought, "I'm going to give tzedakah," even though he technically can't be forced to give it because he didn't verbally say it, but the proper thing is to give it anyway.
Who's the Rebbe in the middle of Shema? Somebody came to him. And
yeah, it's a Gemara. Not the, it was in the Gemara. The person, I don't remember which one it was. The guy, the Gemara uses that pasuk, but over there wasn't tzedakah. Over there was a business deal. Mm-hmm. A guy came to a Jew. The Jew was in the middle of davening, and the guy wanted to make an offer, a business proposition. The guy offered him, let's say, $1,000, and the Jew was in the middle of davening, so he didn't answer him. So the guy thought there wasn't enough money, so he hiked up the price to $1,200. The Jew didn't answer him, he said $1,400. And then by then the Jew finished davening, and he said to the guy, I'm selling it to you for $1,000. Because when you said $1,000, I couldn't talk because I was in the middle of davening, but in my mind I accepted the deal. Not too many people do that today. So technically, if you want to be technical, if they went to Beis Din, then somehow you can prove, I don't know how, but somehow you could prove that the guy accepted it in his thought, you know, he still can get the $1,400. But that's called David Emes Bilvavi, speaking truth in your heart. Speaking truth in your heart. So the Gemara in Shulchan Aruch says that there is such an opinion that it's proper that even if you think it, but if somebody verbally says they're giving tzedakah, and they say Bli Neder, it doesn't mean that's why I don't have to give it. Now, if somebody makes, there's a din of Neder Betois. If somebody makes a vow by mistake, for instance, a guy wanted to give, Hidaka wanted to give $100. By mistake, he said $1,000. But he really wanted to give $100. He doesn't have to give $1,000 because it's a mistake. He said $100. He meant $100. And also, by Nedarim, a lot of it goes, the Gemara says, Shulchan Aruch says, it goes by what people mean. If people mean I'm going to give a table, what size table? Are we talking about a tiny table? That's not what it means. You know, most people, it goes, what people normally assume that's what you mean by it. But the people shouldn't think that just because you say Bli Neder, you don't have to do it. You have to do it. The Shaila, are you ever a Neder or not?
So why is the way of that in our Nusach when it's time to say Bli Neder in different parts? We mentioned the Bli Neder any time it comes to Sadaka and giving charity.
In the Misha Berachs. If you look in the city, it doesn't say Bli Neder.
Yeah, also in another instance, it says...
Yeah, I know you're doing. In the Torah and Dorim Erev Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
You say, I made a vow, and I did make a condition that it should be Bli Neder. So therefore, I'm nullifying that vow that became a vow, because I didn't say it's going to be
Bli Neder.
Yeah, it says also, always the Lashon Bli Neder. B'chlal, by Tzedakah, because of this Gemara, and obviously the halacha of it, a person should, whenever they promise, they should always say Bli Neder, because God forbid, if for whatever reason it is, even emergency happened, they didn't give it, they didn't, like this, they'd be transgressing a negative commandment, a positive commandment, like this, they wouldn't.
Who is God?
Huh? toys guy is mutter, if a guy makes a mistake, you don't have to tell the guy that he made a mistake.
Yeah,
that's the law. It's not to do with
him. No, he told me that the money.
Yeah, the same thing. Alpidin, he was allowed to take from him the 1400. Mm-hmm. Let's say whatever. Yeah. But he did lifnei mashir sadin, and he made a big kiddush Hashem for it.
Okay.
What?
If a person promises an animal becomes
if it's an animal that's fit for a carbon.
Right, but on the way it becomes puzzled. Yeah. So then the animal still has to go to the Beis HaMikdash and they sell it? And it's a nedava versus a neder.
Yeah, the animal, I don't remember the din now. If the animal has a mum, does it lose its kedusha completely? Your bezin has to keep it for bedek habayis. I believe they have to keep it for bedek habayis. I don't know, unless if he meant only for a carbon, and now it's not. I don't remember. Because over here the problem is, the guy promised it for a carbon. He didn't promise it for the bedek habayis. He only wanted a carbon, and now it's not a kosher carbon. Because Tata says it's not a kosher carbon. So the question is, does it lose its holiness completely, or I don't remember. Okay, now the Gemara says, Amar Mar, the Gemara now is going to analyze this brisa that we just learned. So Amar Mar says, okay, Abba Mad Gemara said before, Mitzvah Sasecho, what comes out of your lips, is Mitzvah Sasei, it's a positive commandment that you have to pay one's vow. So the Gemara says, Lamali, why do I need this Pasuk to tell me that? They know it from a different Pasuk. Because the Pasuk says, Uvasa Shama, you should come there, Vavesim Shama, and you should bring there what you promised. So you see that there's a positive mitzvah to bring what you promised. So the Gemara says, that's one question. Then the Gemara says, if I was going through each one, then the Gemara says, Tishmar, Zum, it's a negative commandment that if you don't pay on time, you're transgressing a negative commandment. So the Gemara says, Lamali, why do I need this pasuk of Tishmar to tell me if I don't pay my debt? I mean, if I don't pay my vow, I'm transgressing a negative commandment. It says in the Torah, it says already in the Torah, you're not allowed to delay your payment. So if the Torah says already, I'm not allowed to delay my payment, why do I need Tishmar to tell me that if I don't pay the vow, it's a negative commandment? It's another pasuk. I don't need two psukim telling me the same thing. Okay? And also, Vasisa, it says, what does it mean, Vasisa? Azor, lebezdin shiasucha. The bezdin is obligated to force you to do it. Yeah? So the Gemara says, Lamali, why do I need that pasuk? I have another pasuk, the bezdin is obligated to force you. Why? Because it says Yaakov Eisei Nafke. It says in the Torah, Yaakov Eisei, you have to bring it. And the Gemara is going to say the very famous Chassidish Gemara. So it says the Tanya we learned in the Braisa, Yaakov Eisei, that when the Torah says you have to bring a carbon, so it says Malamit Shekeifin Eisei. That what happens if the guy doesn't want to bring it? Bezin forces him to bring it. Even to say you beat him up until he says I want to bring it. But then it says, Yachol Balkarchai, I would think that he has to bring it even against his will. Yeah, you force the guy against his will. Tamalayim, the Torah says, Lirtzaini, willingly. So the question is, okay, Tzad. The Gemara says, okay, Tzad. How could this be? You have to force him until he wants to. Yeah. If he's forcing him, he doesn't want to. And if he wants to, you don't have to force him.
Yeah.
So the Gemara says, this famous Gemara, Kaifin Eisach Emer Eitzani. You beat him up, or you force him until he says, I want to. This is what the Gemara says.
Maybe he doesn't mean it. He's only saying because they're forcing.
Okay, so this is the famous Rambam in Hilchos Geirushin that explains this Gemara according to Hasidic interpretation. It's very interesting. Hasidus always calls this Rambam. The Rambam says, on this concept of Kaifin Eisei, because not this, the Gemara here speaks about Kobonis. But the Rambam says, and the Gemara in Gittin says the same thing as by a get.
Yeah.
If according to Halacha, a husband has to divorce his wife, let's say she committed adultery, and therefore the husband has an obligation to divorce his wife, and the husband doesn't want to, he says, I don't want to divorce my wife. So the din is you beat him up until he says, I want to. That's the din. So the Rambam in Hilchos Geirushin asks a very simple question. That's called wanting. Mm-hmm. You take a stick, you start hitting the guy, you're beating him up, and he says, okay, I want to. That's not that he wants to. And the Torah says, Lirtzaini, it has to be willingly.
Yeah.
The husband has to willingly give a get. and hear about the carbon. The man has to willingly bring the carbon. What they willingly says. So the Rambam answers, and it's interesting because the Rambam says it. He says the following: every Jew wants to do what's right. His Yetzirah is forcing him to go against the real will of the Jew. The real will of the Jew is to do what he has to do. If Bezin says do it, he wants to do it. This that he says I don't want to do it, that's the Yetzirah, it's not him. So when you beat him up, all you're doing is stopping the Yetzirah from getting in the way of what you really want. That's what the Rambam says. But it's a very Hasidic concept. A person wants to do what's right. When a person says, I don't want to keep Shabbos, it's not him. It's Yetzirah. The person wants to keep Shabbos. So you're not forcing the person to go against his will. Shabbos or Mikorban, whatever, that's the real will of the person. The Yetzirah is forcing you to go against your own will. So all you do is get rid of the Yetzirah.
Get rid of the Yetzirah.
Beating it up. And the Yetzirah gets beat up. The Yetzirah says, you know what, I'll do it already. But that's the real will of the person. It's a phenomenal Rambam. I mean, Chassidus always calls this Rambam. It's an unbelievable Rambam. That a person really, because this is the old philosophical question, is a person bad and they do good? Is a person good and they do bad? According to the Rambam, a Jew at least, is good who does bad. But it's not them. They do good.
Hashem said something else though.
What?
People who pass will leave them alone.
That was before Matan Torah and before the flood. Serious, that was before the flood. But right after the flood.
You can do it in America. You can force it.
Anyway, the Gemara's question over here is there's three things: positive mitzvah, negative mitzvah, and Bezin forces you. That we learn now from this pasuk, Meitzes Tzatzecha Tishmer Vasisa. So the Gemara asks, in these three questions, it was basically one question. Why do I need this pasuk to teach me positive mitzvah, negative mitzvah, and Bezin forces you, when we learn now from different psukim? Why do I need the two psukim to teach me the same thing? So now the Gemara is going to answer why we need two psukim per each one. Right, she says, Chad, one pasuk is referring, this is not hard, it's just like this and this and this and this. One case is speaking, the Amar V'Le'afish, when a person makes a vow, but he did not designate one. V'Chad, the Afrish V'Le'akiv, one is when he designated it, but he didn't offer it yet. Another one pasuk is teaching me, if a person made a vow, but he did designate a carbon, he still has an obligation to keep the carbon, to bring it on time. The other one is when a person designated the carbon already, but he still didn't bring it. And therefore it's two different. And the Gemara says, why do I need two psukim? Why can't I learn both things out from one pasuk? Tzricha says, I need it. Why? The Iyashmin in Amar V'Le'afish, because if I would only know the law of where he declared it, but he didn't separate it, I would think he is liable. Why? Mishum Galeikaim Eladi, but he didn't fulfill his word. Because he didn't even designate the carbon yet. But if he already designated the animal, but just didn't bring it, because av aim, I would think, kol heicha de isa, wherever the animal is, be'gaza drachmana isa, it's still part of the Eibishter's treasury. In other words, the Gemara says as follows: If I promise a carbon, I don't even designate it. That's very bad, because I didn't even do anything of it yet. But if I already designated the carbon, I just didn't bring it, so maybe I didn't sin so much. Because after all, listen, it's God's carbon. It still belongs to the Beis Hamikdash because I designated it already. So tzricha, I need both. And therefore he says, v'i yashmin in afrish, so let it say the other way. That means he separated it, but didn't bring it. Mm-hmm. He says, I would think, the kamashal ilagabe, because he's keeping it in his possession. Therefore, maybe that's why he's liable. But if he said it and didn't declare it yet, I would think he's not liable because his mouth, his saying didn't do anything yet because he didn't designate the carbon. So I need both cases. In other words, the Gemara says as follows. You have two scenarios. You have a case that a guy doesn't keep his vow, right? It could be a keeping, not keeping his vow, that he didn't even bother designating the animal yet. Or in other cases, he did designate the animal, he just didn't bring it yet. So one pasuk is for this case, and one pasuk is for this case. Each one has something that the other one doesn't have. Meaning, I would think that if I designated the korban, even though I didn't bring it yet, I wouldn't be transgressing. Why? Listen, I made it a korban. It's God's already. Whenever I bring it, I bring it. But if I didn't designate it, I didn't do anything yet, because it's not even designated. And then you could look in the other way. If a guy already brought the korban, designated the korban, he promised the korban, everything's there, he's not bringing it, he should be liable. But if a guy didn't just say the korban, he didn't mean anything, he didn't do anything yet, maybe he wouldn't be transgressing. So therefore, you need both psukim. One pasuk to tell me a case when he designates it and doesn't bring it. One pasuk to tell me even if he doesn't designate the animal, that in both cases he's liable for not bringing the korban. So now the Gemara says, how can you say the case is speaking? The Amar that he said it, v'le'afish, meaning he promised to come but didn't designate it, it can't be. Because that Brisa says the word nedava. And what does nedava mean? This animal is holy. Like Gemara is going to say. But nedava, k'siva, but the word is, it says over there, nedava, and it says in the Mishnah, is a neder, what's a neder? And this is like we learned before, what's the difference between a neder and nedava? If somebody says, I promise a korban oila, yeah, that is a neder. What is a nedava? If a guy says, harezu oila, this is an oila. Meaning, if a guy just promises a korban oila, that's neder. If a guy says, this animal is a korban oila, that's nedava. And the Gemara says, what's the halachic difference? What's the halachic difference if something is a neder or a nedava? So the Gemara says simple, like we said before. Neder, if a guy makes a neder, that means he promises a korban, meis a nignav, if the animal died or was stolen, chayiv bachriyusik, you still have to get another one. Because you made the vow on yourself. But nedava, when the guy said, this animal is holy, Meiser Nignava, if it was stolen or died, so you don't have to, you're not responsible, because what did I say? This animal is going to be a carbon. That's it. So the question is, how can you say the Brisa is speaking in a case that a guy made a neder but didn't designate it when it says the word Nedava also? And if it says Nedava, it's automatic designation because that's what the word Nedava means. So the Gemara says, and here you see an interesting concept where you can make a condition. You have such a case in the Dovah that you didn't designate it. What does it mean? Again, the Amar, I have an obligation of an Eila, that I'm not obligated in it. In responsibility. Meaning, what happens if a guy says as follows? I promise to bring a carbon net Eila. Okay? But I'm not responsible if the animal dies. So because he made a condition, it remains, even though halachically it doesn't matter. In other words, normally neder, I'm bringing a carbon. So if the carbon dies, I still have to bring another one, we learned. But what happens if the guy says, I'm making a neder, and the condition that if the animal dies, I don't have to bring another one. So if he's making a condition, it's a valid condition. There's a rule in the Torah.
Against the Torah.
Oh. There's a rule in the Torah, you can't make a condition against an obligation that the Torah gives you. In monetary issues, you could.
I was going to ask you a question about
what?
Somebody does something nice to somebody and the guy turns out to be nasty to him. I'm going to promise not to do the mitzvah of being good to this guy anymore. This is
no, terrible. A Jew can't make a condition. It's very interesting. There's a lot about this. We're already pre-sworn at Har Sinai. A guy can't make a vow, I'm not going to eat matzah. Because you're already pre-vowed at Har Sinai that you have to eat matzah on Pesach. No? You have to do it. But what happens, Moshe, the classic example that we just learned about in Rambam over there, was there's three obligations a husband has to a wife. Food, shayr, ksusa, v'inasa, food, clothing, marital relations. Now, food and clothing, a guy can make a condition with his wife. That like this, you have jobs to do for me and I have to support you. I can make a condition, you don't work for me and I won't support you. That you could do. Marital relations, which is not a monetary issue, you can't make a condition. Mm-hmm. In other words, you can only make conditions on laws that are monetary issues. Mm-hmm. Now normally if a guy says, Harei alei eila, that I have to bring a carbon, the obligation is on him, even if the animal dies, you have to bring it anyway. But because this is a monetary obligation, mm-hmm. I'm obligating myself a monetary object to bring to the Beis HaMikdash, so then I can make a condition. You can't make a condition, though, that if somebody has to bring a sin offering, that I'll make a condition, I don't have to bring it. An obligation that the Torah gives you, you can't masna mashikosu b'Torah. If somebody makes a condition on what the Torah says, it's bottle. Yeah.
Nazir is different?
If a guy makes a nut, well, it depends. Can you become a partial Nazir?
Partial?
What
get the question, really.
No, in other words, what happens if a guy makes it say as follows? I'm going to be a Nazir on the condition that I can go to the cemetery. Because a Nazir can't drink wine, can't cut his hair, and can't go to cemeteries, right? Mm-hmm. What happens if a Nazir makes a vow? I'm going to be a Nazir on the condition I can go to cemeteries. So again, I don't remember all the details, zillions of details, but it's possible that he might be able to go to the cemetery. Because he never accepted upon himself a Nazir. Maybe not, because if the Torah says a Nazir, I mean, that's the issue. If there's a lot of halachas over there with the dinim involved in what you could, what you can't. But you can't make a condition against the Torah unless if it's a monetary issue.
There's no more Nazir, only in time based on my question?
No, technically, if a guy becomes a Nazir today, you have to stay a Nazir. And because a Nazir only finishes the Naziris by bringing a carbon. And before you bring a carbon, you can't be a Nazir. Yeah. And therefore it says you really shouldn't.
There was a guy with Rav Cook of good.
Yeah, and in the United States, there was a person that was a Nazir. There are a few of them today.
He's still a Nazir? Yeah. In Mizraim?
But Nazirim, you cut your hair once a year.
Oh, they do cut it once a year.
Shmuel was a Nazir. Famous Shmuel HaNavi was a Nazir. Rambam says from the Gemara that Nazir Elam means a permanent Nazir. Stam, if a guy says he's a Nazir, it's 30 days. If a guy in the time of the Beis HaMikdash says, I'm a Nazir, so it's only 30 days. But in order to finish the Naziris, you need to bring a carbon. Oh. If you don't bring a carbon, it just keeps going. That's why you can't be a Nazir today.
But if you hope the Mashiach is coming.
Yeah, but, you know. Everybody hopes Mashiach comes, right? But how many people make all their Pesach the Kedishas Chomet stick after Pesach because Mashiach's coming is not going to matter next year? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There was a minig in many places at Kinnis that we say in Tisha B'Av. So nowadays already they come out with books. But in the olden times they didn't want them to make books out of it. They made the things that you, like the cheap books that you can just. So there are many tzaddikim that when they finished Kinnis on Tisha B'Av, they took the Kinnis and put it into Shemus to bury. They said, we're not going to need it next year, Mashiach's coming. Mm. But there's a story with the Rebbe. The Rebbe was demanding the Fabrengen about Mashiach. You know, that people should believe in Mashiach. So this big Rav in Montreal went over to the Rebbe after the Sikha, Rebbe Hirschbaum. Went over to the Rebbe after the Sikha and said, Rebbe, you're talking to all these Chabadniks, they all believe in Mashiach. Why do you have to, you know, do you have to believe in Mashiach? So the Rebbe said there was a wealthy Jew from Montreal there, in front of the Rebbe. So the Rebbe says, you know this guy? Yeah. The Rebbe says, ask from him a loan of a large amount of money and tell him you'll pay him back when Mashiach comes. See if he'll give it to you. The guy believes Mashiach's coming any second. Why should he hesitate to give you a loan? Mashiach's coming. The Rebbe said, ask him for a loan until Mashiach comes back and you'll see if the guy will give it to you.